Spend the first half of the show talking about urban hipsters, and the second, whoa, that's a lot louder, and the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about Michael's recent transition to vegetarianism. The first part of the show is about urban hipsters. That was Gogo Bordello with Wonderless King. Hey, we're the Deader Gypsies. We're on every Tuesday night at 9:15 until 10:15. I guess we already got a lot of followers on the island. People are talking about us. Word is getting around about Dead Air Gypsies. So, for the first part of the show, we are going to be talking about urban hipsters. Me and Michael just spent a year living in Seattle, studying them in their natural habitat. Seattle's home to many fine skinny jeans urban hipsters. So, Michael, why don't you explain to the audience who don't know what exactly we're talking about? They might not know what an urban hipster is.
Well, I've observed them in their natural habitat, but I've never grown up with anyone that became an urban hipster, so I could only theorize and speculate as to how an urban hipster becomes an urban hipster. I think they're kids that are like, this is just me guessing, they're like from the suburbs and they just really don't have much of an identity. They might be like nerds and didn't stand out too much in high school.
Well, let's explain to the audience before we get into how you become an urban hipster. How can you spot them when you're out walking in the city? What do you look for?
They wear skinny pants. They wear their pants really, really tight, and they'll have like a lot of colorful tattoos in a row, one on top of the other, all up and down their arms, like they got them the night before. You know, they get a lot of usually people space out their tattoos through the years and living, but they just bam, like peacocks.
Tons of tattoos.
Yeah.
Like all at once.
All at once.
And, okay, so we had another show where we talked about yuppies. So this is sort of another episode in the demographics that make up Seattle. Hipsters are a close cousin of the yuppie. Like the yuppie, their natural habitat is in the suburbs, but they've migrated to the city. Both male and female can be seen wearing very skinny jeans, headbands.
I think that
t-shirts with ironic slogans on them.
I feel that they think they're hip. I don't know if they feel they're hip because they're urban or that because they're urban that makes them hip, but I think that's where the name come from, the etymology of it.
Actually, we learned about the etymology of that name, and urban hipsters as they're known today, it actually originated from a different kind of scene. It originated in the 40s, the term hipster. It was used to describe young people who were into jazz music. So today it's a little bit different into like the emo music.
Right, right.
Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna play a song.
Tell you about mine. You shove your bright lights, big city back where the sun don't shine. I hear you talking, yes, I'm looking at you, 'cause back where I come from, man, we're laughing at you. Yeah, back where I come from, man, we're laughing at you. Take a look at your foot, does it fit this shoe? Did you really ever think I gave a damn about you? You ain't no messiah with defensive friends, so get your head out of clouds and get your feet back in the dirt, my friend.
I'll get your head out of the clouds and get your feet back in the dirt, my friend. I'll get your head out of the clouds and get your feet back in the dirt.
Well, wipe that smirk right back where you came, as if you knew who I am, as if you knew my name. Turn around, see your backs against the walls. Too bad you didn't notice that I'm a 10 feet, I'm 10 feet tall. Yeah, it's too bad you didn't notice that I'm a 10 feet, I'm 10 feet tall. Take a look at your foot, does it fit this shoe? Did you really ever think I gave a damn about you? You ain't no messiah with offensive friends, so get your head out of clouds and get your feet back in the dirt, my friend.
Get your head out of the clouds and get your feet back in the dirt. I'll get your head out of the clouds and get your feet back in the dirt.
That was The Devil Makes Three with 10 Feet Tall. I saw them perform in Seattle. They're a really good band. Actually, I think they might have. No, they were going to come here, but then they got too popular and busy. But they're really good. But when I was at that concert, there was a lot of hipsters there drinking PBR. Explain this PBR craze.
I think PBR, Pabst Blue Ribbon, is traditionally viewed as like a blue-collar workers, someone that is from the city and you know, not trying to be hip. It's a working class drink, and I think these kids, like my guess, I think they're like middle class kids from the suburbs that really weren't very hip, you know, in high school, and they're trying to be hip. So they think drinking PBR like carrying a can around with them is like them carrying a monkey wrench around in their can, like they're blue collar.
So, do you think it works? Does it successfully make them blue collar to drink Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Well, definitely not. Definitely not, because I come from a blue collar background, and we would only drink that's terrible stuff, and we would only drink it if we were on a budget.
So you got rich people drinking the cheapest beer in town because it's cool.
Yeah, if we got the money, we'll spend it on the good beer. But they could have millions of dollars. Not that they do, but if they did, they would still be buying PBR.
Wow, that's interesting. And another thing about the hipsters, PBR inevitably becomes too popular for them, so they need to grab onto another blue collar beverage. So what did we observe in Seattle about the transition away from PBR towards a new blue collar drink?
Wasn't it Miller High Life?
I saw Miller High Life is more on the cutting edge. Was it called Manny's?
Oh yeah, I forget. It's like Manny's.
Manny's,
yeah.
And then the few people who are so ahead of the times that they stop with Manny's. And now they move on to Miller High Life.
Yeah. So. They're like working their day jobs as bike couriers and office clerks, and they think the PBR is going to make them a blue-collar worker. They'll have the image of one.
Interesting. Well, sometimes it's just hard to find individuals. That was Bad Religion with Individual. Okay, well, you might not know it, but we are actually in the presence of greatness. We're sitting next to a karaoke champion, Michael O'Connell. Michael always knows the right song to sing in the right place, and we happen to be sitting in a karaoke bar. Well, it wasn't a karaoke bar, but they were having a karaoke night. And there were a lot of hipsters there, you know, singing songs. And Michael sang this little tune to serenade them. And we're going to sing it for you tonight.
I'm actually a black belt in karaoke.
Okay.
They seek him here, they seek him there. His clothes are loud, but never square. It will make or break him, cause he's got to buy the best. Cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. And when he does his little rounds, run the boutiques on Seattle Town, eagerly pursuing the latest fads and trends, cause he's a
dedicated follower of fashion.
Oh yes he is.
Oh yes he is.
Oh yes he is.
Oh yes he is.
He thinks that he's a flower to be looked at, and when he pulls his frilly nylon panties up tight, he feels a dedicated follower of fashion. They seek him here, they seek him there, on Cherry Street and Pioneer Square. Everywhere the Rhydon Army marches on, each one a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is.
Oh yes he is.
Oh yes he is.
Oh yes he is.
His world is built round coffee shops and party. This pleasure-seeking individual always looks his best, cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion.
Yeah.
that was the Violent Femmes, and before that were the X-Ray Specs with I Am a Poser. So we're going to change gears right now. We're going to end our segment on urban hipsters, and I'm going to interview Michael about vegetarianism. So, Michael, when did you first become a vegetarian?
I first became a vegetarian about, I'd say, 4 years ago when I was in downtown Seattle, and someone handed me a pamphlet with, they captured these terrifying faces on the pigs and the cows and the chickens. I read through the pamphlet, and then they listed other reasons, but that pamphlet, that it was a good job whoever took the photos for that pamphlet.
Had you ever seen photos like that before?
No.
Wow. So, had you ever been around animals much before?
Just my friends and family back home. No, I've been around rats in the city, and, we don't have animals.
What about dogs, cats?
Yeah, dogs and cats, and I never dreamed of ever eating a dog or a cat.
But you hadn't been around, like, barn animals?
No, I'd never been around any barn animal.
Okay, so after you stopped eating meat, how did you feel?
I felt great. I mean, I was really, the picture of them pigs and cows and chickens was like fresh in my head, and I used to always think about that. And I wasn't missing anything by not eating meat.
Was it ever uncomfortable, like when you'd go to people's houses, maybe they made something with meat in it and you'd have to say you're a vegetarian?
No, because I don't know, like I said, the pictures and thinking about like when they're doing it, I just look at them as savages.
Savages. So, okay, a lot of people ask, like, when they find out you're a vegetarian, they're like, why? So what's your reply?
I'll say, why do you eat meat, you savage?
Good answer. Okay. And, didn't you take a break from it? You had, like, a relapse?
Yeah, it's because, I was on a very tight budget in Eugene, Oregon. There aren't any jobs there, and I just had to eat whatever the hell they had where I was at, or else I would have starved.
Yeah. So for how long did you take a break from being a vegetarian?
I don't think not even a year.
Yeah. And yeah. How did you feel during that time?
I felt, I wish I had the money to not have to have eaten what was there, but I don't know. I wish I had money. I would not eat what.
Yeah. Okay, so when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Michael more about his vegetarianism.
Oh,
That was Suburban Kid by the Sex Pistols. Hey, I have to apologize. When we made our music selection, we only got songs that corresponded with our urban hipster subject and not with the vegetarian. So all of our songs are on the hipster theme, and we didn't get any vegetarian theme songs, sorry. So where we left off, Michael had taken a little break from being a vegetarian. Sometimes it's difficult, and you know, you're in a...
No, I really don't have any good excuse. That's why we almost had some dead air when you asked me that the last time. I just don't have a good... The memory of the pamphlet kind of faded from my mind, and then we were living like desperados in the Eugene hostel, and we were just eating whatever the hell was there, and... But I don't have any good excuse.
Okay. So this whole time, were you thinking about being a vegetarian, or had it sort of, like, gone away from your mind?
Ever since I went back to eating meat, I just always said, in a perfect world, I would be a vegetarian. I didn't like it. But like I said, I didn't want to be malnourished, you know, fall out, you know, not be able to walk down the street from due to lack of strength from lack of eating.
Okay. Like a hipster.
Yeah, like a hipster. I didn't want to fit into skinny pants.
Yeah, you want it. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind shedding a few pounds, but I didn't want to look emaciated like I have rickets and, you know, have my little Trix t-shirt on and my tight skinny pants on. I didn't want that.
So he didn't want to become an urban hipster, so he ate what was there. So,
I think they only eat the cereal that's on the front of their t-shirts, the cereal brand.
I saw a video on YouTube of a hipster eating baby food. So maybe that's what they eat.
The Gerber baby looks a lot healthier and more robust than any hipster.
Okay. So what made you become a vegetarian again? Did you have one moment?
Oh, this is funny about our host here, Alia. She's a pretty straight shooter and she's pretty honest, but I think she might have fibbed a little bit on this one. She tells me, oh yeah, let's watch this movie, Peaceable Kingdom. It's a vegetarian documentary. She says, it won't be that sad.
Yeah. Well, I forgot. It's like that movie is so terrifyingly sad. Like it's sad and scary and horrible that you watch it and you go through this experience of watching it and then you sort of block it out of your mind about how scary it was, and then you're like, oh yeah, that movie totally made me want to be a vegetarian. Oh yeah, that movie, it's good. And then you watch it again and you're like,
I was thinking you just knew it was really sad and you wanted me to watch it with you because you wanted to watch it, and you said, oh, it's only a little sad, telling me that.
Okay, so what was so horrible about this?
Well, this is the... I was already traumatized, what made me become a vegetarian to begin with, by the pamphlet that I was handed, but this basically shows you the looks on their faces and how they behave, and you have, like, first-hand testimony from guys breaking down that used to work in slaughterhouses.
In the factory farms they were talking about.
In the factory farms. So when I seen that firsthand, I said, even if I'm really hungry, I'm starving, I'm not going to eat meat no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one bad example of me going back on that, but I won't talk about that. But then right following my declaration, I was on a moving job, and the people buy you lunch, and they bought me Burger King burgers. And I was like, I just hit them. I took the burgers out of them and just ate the bun, not to be rude to the people.
So you had been working all day, you know, hard physical labor, and then you just ate some hamburger buns.
Yep, I snuck out the when the lady wasn't looking. I pulled the hamburgers out of them and wrapped them up and put them aside, and I just ate the buns like I was eating the burgers. But I wouldn't. I'd rather just be like weak and hungry.
Yeah. So, have you had other moments like that? Like where you had to choose to not eat rather than eat a piece of meat?
Yeah, well, after that job, I was telling every other job that I went on that, you know, I'm a vegetarian. You got to make sure you say it, because then they might come back and surprise you with some meat sandwich or something.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to play another hipster-themed song. Hop with the Jet Set by the Dead Kennedys. Hey, Michael's been hopping with the Jet Set lately. He just moved to Lopez Island. So, has Lopez Island had an effect on your being a vegetarian, or has it cemented it?
Definitely. I've come firsthand. I walk by cows all the time and they're just looking at you like they want you to pet them or something. And I walk by I see the pigs all sleeping and rolling around. And then every day when I come home from work, I got chickens running up. I swear they're saying in their little chicken language, just saying, "Hey, you're back," or something like that.
Was this the first time you've come, lived close by farm animals and gotten to see them?
Yeah, this is the first time. I've never been that close and seen them in their natural habitat. I've been to a state fair once, and I didn't like it. I didn't like them being penned up like that.
Yeah. So, what else about vegetarians?
Basically, if you're a vegetarian, you shouldn't be shy about saying so, because you got to make them feel uncomfortable. If they're making you feel uncomfortable, you have to look at them and say, why, I'll just give them, if they ask a stupid question, I'll give them a stupid answer. They say, "Well, why don't you eat animals?" I say, "Why do you, you savage?" And then if they say, "Oh, well, what are you going to do, just eat vegetables?" And I'll say, "Do you know what the factory farms, the animals you're eating are forced to eat their own poo?" So you're eating poo. So who's stupid and who's weird?
Yeah.
You eat poo.
Yeah, because a lot of people give you a hard time, you know? They're just like, "Why? Why are you a vegetarian?" And usually my response is, "I love animals too much to eat them, but why do you eat meat, you savage?" is an even better response.
Yeah, when I think of the reason why I'm a vegetarian, it doesn't make me sheepish to pardon the pun. It doesn't make me sheepish to tell them they're the ones that got the explaining to do, you know?
Yeah, that's a good one. Sometimes it's when people aren't thinking about things, it's like they're in a coma. I'm trying to do a good transition to the next song, okay?
I was calling through a festival way out west. I was thinking about love and the acid test. At first I got real dizzy with a real rockin' gang. And then I saw the coma girl on the excitement gang. And the rain came in from the wide blue yawn. Ages I wander. Oh, coma girl on the excitement gang. Mona Lisa on a motorcycle gang. Coma girl, coma
down a bug of her. Somebody was wailing out there. Oh, nobody is ripping the scene, scene dead. And the rain came in from the white blue yonder. I thought you and me might wander. Motorcycle gang, come, girl, come, girl, on a motorcycle gang. As the 19th hour was falling upon Desolation Row, so my love band had the last drop on the go. Let's siphon up some gas, let's get this show on the road, said the coma girl to the excitement gang. Into action, everybody sprang, and the old drums were beating out too lang, too lang. Coma girl of the excitement gang, on a motorcycle gang. Come, girl, lang, lang. Come, girl, lang, lang. On a baby, come on a baby, lang, lang. On a baby, come on a baby.
That was Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros with Coma Girl. I just wanted to remind everyone you're listening to the Dead Air Gypsies on KLOI on Tuesday nights, every Tuesday nights. So this is our fourth show, me and Michael doing Dead Air Gypsies. I think it's our fourth. Okay, so I think we've exhausted the vegetarian issue, unless there's anything else you wanted to say about that.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
So Michael's gonna interview me about something.
Ever since I've known you, you've been fascinated with YouTube, and now you have a YouTube channel. So how does that make you feel?
Our YouTube channel, it's actually me and Michael started it together. It's our YouTube channel, and it's called Southie by South End. And you can look it up. We got like about 8 videos. And YouTube's really fun because YouTube is like anybody could put their movies, and it's not controlled. Just anyone can put their movies up, and some of them become popular if a lot of people like them. Some of them nobody watches, but the people decide. It's not like regular TV where it's like just big companies deciding what they want people to watch on TV. YouTube is your tube.
Awesome.
So now me and Michael got a channel on there.
And what would you say an acceptable amount of hits in the future would be for you to reach? What do you want to reach?
I'd like to have in the tens of thousands, because I think tens of thousands of people need to see me and Michael's videos.
So far, the topics we've covered has been the Red Sox.
Yeah, we covered the Red Sox, a trip to Bremerton Island. What else?
The Joe the Plumber.
Oh, yeah, Joe the Plumber. Okay, that was, I have to admit, when we made the Joe the Plumber video, that was a strictly strategic video, okay? Because I was listening to the debates between the candidates, And they kept talking about Joe the Plumber, and it was so funny. Like, why are they talking about this guy, Joe the Plumber? That's so corny. But anyway, like, I was like, you know, this is going to be all over YouTube. So we got to get up a video of you impersonating Joe the Plumber. We got to get that up there right away before anyone else does so that we could get lots of hits. And then they would look at our other videos and we can become YouTube stars.
See, I've been working hard like every day, so my creative juices haven't been flowing like they could yet, but we are going to be mega stars on YouTube.
Right. Yeah, we're going to be like, you know where you're going to see us next?
Where?
When you first go to YouTube and there's that page of the most watched videos of the day, that's where you're going to see us.
Yep, because we're good enough. We're smart enough, and damn it, people like us.
Yep, people like us. Well, so far, like, what is our highest video? We got like 163 hits on Joe the Plumber. So that's not YouTube star level, like, numbers, but I think that's doing pretty good. I think we're on our way.
Luckily got the boot. All the
That was The Clash. It was Joe Strummer again in The Clash. So I guess we're going to be signing off for tonight. So this is the Dead Air Gypsies. I'm Alia.
And I'm Michael.
And I hope you tune in to us next week at the same time. So this is Alia and Michael signing off and reminding you to not be a savage, wear loose-fitting pants.
And be careful talking to Lance.